The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everybody? I am Raymond Summerlin, your host for this edition of the Roto World Football Podcast, and I will be joined today, as I am every single Thursday, by Rich Rebar to discuss the Thursday night game, some DFS options, and most importantly, his weekly worksheet column. And then later on, Nick Minzio will be here, who has all the most important starts and sits for week 9. Of the fantasy football season. Week 9 of the fantasy football season is here already. Before we get to that, I would like to remind you to rate and review the podcast wherever you find it. It helps other people find the show. It helps us in the rankings, and we very, very much appreciate those of you who have already done that. So thank you very much. With all of that out of the way, let's do this thing. What's going on, Rich?
Man, you said week 9, and you know, as people will be listening to this, it'll be November. So, like, we're not only going to be week 9, like, we're closing in on, like, holiday season. So, like, ooh, yep. The end is real. The darkness is really about to spread.
Yeah, it's really been a fast year. Like, every year I feel like we say that, so probably this is the way it is every year. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, this year particularly has just flown by. This season has just flown by. And it's been a fun one because guess what? Teams are scoring points again.
Yeah, teams are scoring points and, you know, knock on it. Like, we haven't been that bad on the injury front. Like, we've had some guys with hamstrings and stuff like that. But so far, like, we haven't had, like, that big, like, crippling, like, running back injury that's, like, opened the floodgates yet.
Yeah, we talked about that actually on the Monday pod or the Tuesday pod. That we record on Monday, and Josh lambasted me for even bringing up the name of Todd Gurley. he said, don't put that evil out there. And I said, all right, I won't. But you're
that's
right.
True, that's true.
It's fair. But we haven't seen those injuries. Yeah, it's been a fun fantasy season for most of us, I suppose. There are other of us who remain nameless. Actually, not. It's me, who are 0-8 in a league. So keeping that alive, baby. Let's do this thing.
Might as well finish the journey.
I'm kind of thinking about it. I'm thinking about just tanking it out and seeing if I can lose them all. But anyway, for those of you who are doing better than I am in that league, we're going to talk about some interesting stuff. We have to get started with the Thursday night game like we do every week. The Raiders at the 49ers this week. It's a 45.5 point total. The 49ers are 2.5 point home favorites. I actually think that this game could be more exciting maybe than you would think. That total, 45.5, if C.J. Beathard plays, and that at the time of recording, record this on Wednesday afternoon, that is still an open question. It looks like he's going to be a game time decision. But if he plays, I kind of like the over in this game. Both of these defenses are bad. I mean, they've been bad recently. They don't really have much coming back. It's not like you look at these two teams and say, yeah, they're going to be better later in the season. In fact, the 49ers are dealing with some pretty serious injuries on their defense to Reuben Foster and Tart, whose first name I can never say. The Oakland passing game has been pretty good. They haven't been scoring touchdowns, but that's been kind of fluky, as we can talk about when we talk about Derek Carr, and we saw that change last week. The 49ers scored 27 and 30 against the Chargers and Packers with Beathard. So when they can protect the quarterback, which shouldn't be a problem this week, they're able to score points. I look at all that, and I think this is a game that has a pretty good shot to go over. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I was all about the over when it first dropped. You know, now, like you said, I'm just waiting and seeing if we're getting Nick Mullins or not.
That would ruin things. That would change things. I want to be very clear. This is all contingent on not Nick Mullins starting.
Yeah, when I saw it, though, that was my first inkling, too. I was like, ooh, this looks like a supreme overspot. Because the defensive ineptitude of these teams is very high. And when you talk about the injuries of the 49ers, that just compounds matters. I mean, the 49ers don't get any pressure on the quarterback whatsoever. And Derek Carr, when you look at his splits, you know, when he's kept clean versus having pressure, it's the third largest gap in the league behind Cam Newton and Josh Allen. So, I mean, if you're not going to put pressure on Derek Carr, he's going to be fine. And the 49ers don't get any pressure. So this definitely looks like an over spot for sure. We just need Beathard to do his part. You know, we need that activity from CJ to get it in the game. Yeah, it looks pretty interesting. And I'm into the Oakland money line a little bit here too. I mean, you got any trends to talk me off of that?
None particularly that I can off the top of my head there, but I do think it's interesting. You mentioned that kind of split for Carr from an over perspective, but from a fantasy perspective, that means you also have to be kind of interested in Derek Carr this week, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, if you look at like Carr, so he's had two really good fantasy games and the rest of them junk. Both have kind of come in like these just big back and forth types of games. And that's what we hope we get with Beathard playing. You know, obviously if Mullins plays, maybe it's just like a more slower spot. But I mean, the 49ers are 27th in passing points allowed per game. They have allowed multiple passing touchdowns in 7 games this year. It's the most in the league. So yeah, I mean, he's definitely on the top of the streaming board this week.
Yeah, I think he's up there. And I think for the reasons, you know, you mentioned, I also have to say about Derek Carr, I mentioned it earlier. He has attempted now 26 passes inside the 10-yard line, and he has just 5 touchdowns on those 26 attempts. That's kind of fluky. That's going to regress at some point, and I think it'll happen. And the other side of this, Beathard is in the same situation, which the team that he's facing does not get any pressure. And they have been a little bit better at corner, especially last week. They came out of the bye playing pretty well there. But I think it's a good matchup for him. I look at the tight ends in this game, and I think that both of them, both Kittle and Jared Cook, are in smash spots. You look at the 49ers, and when they face real tight ends this year, they've given up pretty good games. Kyle Rudolph had a touchdown. They gave up 8 for 114 to Kelsey. They gave up 5 for 104 to Jimmy Graham. Like I mentioned earlier, Foster and Tart are out. Jared Cook is basically the number one wide receiver now in Oakland. Yeah, I'm in a lot on these offenses.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of interesting pieces here. When we talk about a 16 bye week too, you know, this might be a game people have to fish, you know, in the barrel for players. You know, obviously, you know, Doug Martin will be a guy that people might have to look to this week. I mean, he had 15 touches, 5.5 yards per carry, Ray. You know, the 49ers actually have been decent though against the run. I mean, they've allowed just one back to have 70 yards rushing on them on the season. They faced a lot of pretty decent backs too so far in the year in terms of individuals. No one's really gashed them on the ground. So, I mean, that'll probably put Jalen Richard in play, you know, as like a low level flex. You know, obviously Richard's a little better when the game script gets worse. But you know, and like I said, it's a shallow week this week. Like there are holes everywhere. I mean, people are just trying to fill rosters this week. I don't know really what to make of what we had with the first game without Amari Cooper. I mean, Brandon LaFell, Jordy Nelson, and Seth Roberts all just had 4 targets each. LaFell led the team with Nelson and routes run. It's kind of one of those things that maybe it's just the sum of parts and like it's just not worth chasing anyone there. You just play Carr and you play Jared Cook and you don't even try to nail any of these Raider receivers just because the ceiling's so low for all these guys, even when they get touchdowns. You know, just kind of one of those situations. I'm not really excited about any of the guys.
Yeah, I kind of view it as Cook is their number one receiver and Jalen Richard is their number two receiver. And I'll leave it at that. Jalen Richard's on pace for 89 catches, by the way. 89 catches in a year of running back receptions. That's still pretty impressive. Last guy we haven't hit on is Matt Breida, who reportedly had no setbacks last week and is getting healthier, but also in a great spot last week, didn't do much of anything. So that's a concern. You cannot feel great about him actually finishing a game at this point. You know, he is just one carry away from just another setback. So that's a concern. But, I mean, the matchup is gold, and they are, for now at least, we'll see what happens with Beathard, they are home favorites. So it's kind of one of those back and forth situations with him, right?
Yeah, I mean, we'd like to see him just get healthy and show some explosion again. I mean, if you look after the first three games, now that he's been kind of coming in and out, the past 5 weeks, he's rushed 52 times for 213 yards, just a little over 4 yards per carry. He just has the one rushing touchdown over the past 5 weeks, kind of just, like you said, has just kind of battled through a bunch of injuries. It would be nice to see him get healthy and, you know, show that he's right. But like I said, it's a thin week. You know, he's definitely in the lower RB2 bucket, you know, that where you can get him in. Because the Oakland defense, they're surrendering 169 total yards per game to opposing backfields, which is 28th in the league. We saw Marlon Mack just destroy them last Sunday. So, I mean, it's definitely a spot where if you have Matt Breida, you want to play him. You just want to see some more explosive plays that he was showing at the beginning of the season as he's been playing through these injuries.
Yeah, I that's kind of where I am. It's like, it's one of those... this could blow up in my face, but it could also blow up. So it's one of those, like, I think you have to play him, like you said, especially in a thin week. All right, moving on. Like we do every week, we're going to highlight a few DFS plays that we found using the new DFS toolkit over at rotoworld.com. If you have not gotten it yet, you should. It gives projections for DraftKings, FanDuel, and Yahoo, including point per dollar values. And you can customize those projections based on what you want the system to weight the most. You can go in there and play with the sliders based on kind of your preferences. I've used the lineup optimizer all season. I really do like that tool. And two of the players that will end up in a lot of optimized lineups this week are Nick Chubb, who is $4,500 over at DraftKings, and Kenny Golladay, who is $6,200 over at FanDuel. And I think both of these guys are just really interesting based on both kind of the matchups and the uncertainty we now have after the shakeups early this week. I think for Chubb, there are two questions. Number one, is Duke Johnson more involved under the new coaching staff? This game would seem to set up pretty well for Johnson, considering they are big home underdogs and the Chiefs have given up the most receiving yards in the league to running backs. But we also have not seen the Browns actually use Johnson yet. So if that changes under the new coaching staff, then that could be a problem for Chubb. But the second and probably most important question here is, can the Browns keep this game close? Because if they can, Nick Chubb can absolutely eat. We saw last week what running games can do against Kansas City's defense if the offenses are able to keep it close, if the defenses are able to keep it close. Cleveland's defense is not that bad. I mean, they have a few injuries, but they're not bad. I look at this and I think this is, even with the fact that Chubb is not going to be very involved in the pass game, we don't think. I think that this is worth a shot in tournaments. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, if Tyreek Hill doesn't play too, that opens up another avenue where they can, you know, slow down the Chiefs a little bit. But I mean, Chubb has 18 and 20 touches now in the two games since the Carlos Hyde trade, and the Browns have trailed thoroughly throughout both those games. So I mean, he's had 18-20 touches in games they've trailed. So I mean, we're not really ultra concerned about the game script if it was, you know, just staying as par for the course. But, you know, the shakeup with the coaching staff, what will we see differently happening? I mean, they've talked about getting Duke Johnson involved more in the offense the whole season. Now will it finally happen that Freddie Kitchens has taken over? You know, he hasn't had more than six touches though in any game. So it's like, do we really just blind trust it? It's hard. But like you said, the Chiefs are a run game target anyways. So, I mean, the Browns are going to have handoffs in this game, regardless. So, I mean, even if he's going to be around the 15-touch mark, you're getting handoffs against the team that's just been gashed by everyone. Philip Lindsay rocked them last week. Devontae Booker came in and rocked them, you know, for like 80 yards on the ground, too. I think it's a good spot for Chubb. If the Browns do score, it probably will be, you know, a rushing touchdown. You know, me and you at least are on this train that the Chiefs passing defense is not as bad as everyone kind of thinks it is on the surface. I mean, I'm into Chubb, especially at a low price. I mean, the Chiefs, like I said, allowing 110 rushing yards per game to running backs. That's 26. They're 31st in yards per carry, allowed to running backs at 5.3 yards. And it's not just garbage time. They can't stop the run at any time. So you need touches. That's it.
I think you go to the other side, the other name there, which was Kenny Golladay, who again is $6,200 at FanDuel. He's in a really interesting case because I do not think this is a good matchup. And it looks like Xavier Rhodes is going to be back this week. He practiced on Wednesday. Perhaps he shadows Marvin Jones, but I mean, he's done that in the past, but this is a bit of a different situation now that Golden Tate is gone. But Golden Tate being gone is kind of the reason you're interested here in Golladay. I mean, Golden Tate commanded 26.6% of the targets before the trade. They reportedly really like Brandon Powell, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Brandon Powell's not getting 26.6% of the targets moving forward. I doubt TJ Jones is doing that either. So there are a lot of targets to spread out here between Marvin Jones and Kenny Golladay. two guys who are already getting quite a few targets. So this is a really interesting spot. And if it wasn't such a bad matchup, I would think that both Jones and Galladay would be really highly owned and it wouldn't be interesting. But the fact that it is that Minnesota matchup, which they've struggled this year, but I still think it carries that kind of name value. This could be a really interesting spot for Galladay.
Yeah, I don't think he's really a cash game guy, but I think the value is here for tournaments because you have the unknown target spike that is incoming because it's going to happen, like you said. I mean, Tate led the team in targets in 6 of 7 games. He averaged 9.9 targets per game. They have Brandon Powell, TJ Jones, no tight ends, and Theo Riddick's on the shelf. Like, there's only three dudes that are going to really get the ball, and it's the two receivers, Galladay and Jones, and Kerryon Johnson in the pass game. Like, there might be some ancillary targets that get spread out, but, I mean, the bulk of these targets are going to go to the good players, and they're Galladay. You know, Galladay is that guy. You know, the guy that's right. The reason they made this trade is to open up more targets for him because they had started to drop. You know, when you look at, they want to start using these young guys on their rookie contracts and having them elevate, you know, as his contract was going to expire. Doesn't look like they're going to make a push. So, I mean, yeah, I like it. I like the look here for Galladay. Like you said, the matchup will scare people off, you know, inherently. But we don't know. You know, Xavier Rhodes, like I said, you brought up, he has been a guy that's shadowed Marvin Jones. It has been because, you know, maybe because Tate plays inside. Like, he's not a guy that really falls into the slot that often. But we'll see. Galladay's a guy who's got a big enough, you know, catch radius and is the type of receiver that can still score on a guy like Xavier Rhodes too. It's not like you need to run and completely hide either. So, I mean, yeah, I'm into the target spike for Kenny Galladay here, because there's just nowhere else for these targets to go besides these good players.
Yeah, and I will say Theo Riddick did practice on Wednesday. I saw on Twitter. So, hope, by the way, please, Detroit, please keep giving Kerryon Johnson the ball. Please, just please, let's be smart about this. Keep giving Kerryon Johnson the ball. All right, let's move on after my please, after I begged on my knees to the Lions. Let's move on to the worksheet. I say it every week. I'm going to keep saying it every week. You should read the worksheet. We're going to go over a few players here, but there is information about basically every fantasy relevant player in the column. Go and read it. You will be smarter. We're going to get started with Cam Newton, who I think, by the way, is quietly the quarterback 4. I think that might be surprising to a lot of people, or maybe I'm wrong. But at least to me, him being the quarterback 4 was a bit of a surprise. He's in a great spot at home against the Bucks. I mean, what's there to say? Like, you like Cam Newton this week, right?
Yeah, I mean, Cam Newton, so he's gone over 20 fantasy points in 4 of his past 5 games. He's off to a career best start with a career high 66.4% completion rate. He has a career low 1.7% interception rate right now. He's also thrown multiple touchdown passes in 6 straight games. It's the longest streak of his NFL career. It's just one behind the franchise record set by Steve Berline, set in 2000. The Bucs defense has yet to fail us yet as a target. They've allowed a top 12 score in every game but one. The one miss was 334 passing yards to Nick Foles. They ranked dead last in completion rate to opposing quarterbacks at 73.7%, dead last in yardage through the air at 332.9, dead last in touchdown rate. And if you look at the scoring upside here, Cam Newton is also having one of his best years in the red zone. He's completed 70.8% of his red zone passes. That's the highest rate in the NFL. The Bucs are allowing 3.1 red zone touchdowns per game. That is ahead of only Atlanta, who's allowing 3.3. So, yeah, it's wheels up. I think that the cat's going to be out of the bag on Newton this week. I think he had a bye, and then like a lot of people weren't into him last week when he decimated the Baltimore defense that was on fire. So I think that this week we'll see maybe him have his first 30-point game of the season.
Even his red zone passes, which are batted down at the line, end up in touchdowns this
yeah, that's true.
This year. So that's where he is. And you mentioned it. Nick Foles is the only quarterback not to score 20 points against the Bucs this season. You said, you know, you mentioned that earlier. I'm going to very much doubt that Cam Newton is the second of those quarterbacks. So yeah, all in on that for sure. Let's stay with this game, actually, and let's talk about the other quarterback, Mr. Ryan Fitzmagic himself. We saw the magic return last week, almost brought them back. I know, much to your chagrin. We've had some bad beats in the last couple weeks. I had 3 terrible beats this last week, and I know you've had your fair share. We need to get off that train, but a train I think we're going to hop back on is Ryan Fitzpatrick, right?
Yeah, and just, you know, the quarterback change, just looking at the numbers between these two quarterbacks, I think that there's an argument to be made for longevity-wise to maybe say that they should have stuck with Winston. But I think when you look at the numbers on paper, it's bar none that, like, Ryan Fitzpatrick's just been the better player on the football field this season. The Buccaneers have scored on 46.5% of their possessions with Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's 20 of 43. It's not like it's an unequal split either. Jameis Winston's had 39 drives and Ryan Fitzpatrick's had 43, almost a dead even split this season. And with Winston, they've only scored on 35.9% of his drives. They scored a touchdown on 33% of the drives Fitzpatrick under center, as opposed to just 25% with Winston. And when you look at the splits for these receivers, Mike Evans has caught 27 of 37 targets. That's 73% from Ryan Fitzpatrick. Just 19 of 31 from Winston, which is 61%. DeSean Jackson has just bonker splits with the two guys. I mean, and he did catch that 60-yard touchdown from Winston, but he's caught just 8 of 22 targets from Winston so far, which is only 36%. With Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's caught 18 of 22 targets, which is 82%. I mean, there's obviously some regression cooked into that number, but that's just wild.
And more than that with Jackson, sorry to butt in, but more than that with Jackson, he has that insane catch rate, and he also has averaged 23.7 yards per catch. So it's not like he's catching the ball around the line of scrimmage. They've connected on that many on big plays. Neither of us is saying that's going to continue, but that's bonkers, the type of efficiency, right?
Yeah, it's just more of a descriptive to tell you the disparity of what's been going on when Ryan Fitzpatrick's on the football field and the type of ceiling you can still acquire if you catch some of that Fitz magic in a bottle. But really, it's just about this team is just built to do one thing well, and we've seen it now through both quarterbacks that makes these guys such strong fantasy assets. So anytime a quarterback's finished a game, they've been a top 10 fantasy scorer this season, and combined, these guys have thrown for fewer than 365 passing yards in just one game this season. So, I mean, you're getting such a large floor, which is why I made the comment about Winston last week that kind of blew up in my face. But the passing yardage floor has been so high for these guys. The only question you have is if now there's like a turnover carousel that starts to happen. But I don't think that they'll just immediately pull the plug on Fitzpatrick this week.
Yeah, and like you said, I mean, you kind of hinted at it. Tampa Bay quarterback, if you just look at team quarterbacks, Tampa Bay quarterback has been the second best in the league behind just the Kansas City quarterback, behind just Patrick Mahomes. And they're just 0.8 points fewer per game than Patrick Mahomes, who, and those two, by the way, are well ahead of everybody else in the league. So the upside here is like, we're talking about the second best fantasy quarterback if we could be sure that they're not going to get benched in the middle of the game. Like that's really what we're looking at here. So I agree with you. That's the only concern is are we going to see a benching? And I think you're right. That's probably not going to happen this week. This is a major change that they have made, benching Jameis.
I will say we don't go down narrative street often on this podcast, but there's a distinct difference between the way the body language is for everyone in the game when Ryan Fitzpatrick is playing. There's a certain aura around how everyone reacts to when he's playing versus Jameis Winston. I mean, Jameis Winston should have thrown 6 interceptions in that game on Sunday. Yeah. He was lucky to only throw 4. But I mean, it just, like I said, I don't want to just completely go down narrative street, but it feels like the team and the organization wants Ryan Fitzpatrick to play.
I think I wrote this in the chat. I'll say it. I'm fine saying it. The team likes Ryan Fitzpatrick the way that Jameis Winston believes the team likes him. That's what it looks like, at least on the field. And you're right. We don't like to dabble in that, but it certainly does seem that way. All right, let's finish up here with easily the best matchup. Well, maybe not easily the best matchup. That Sunday night matchup is pretty good too. One of the two best matchups, I would say, of the week, with the Rams traveling to New Orleans to play the Saints. I am sure you have some interesting nuggets about this matchup, right?
Yeah, I mean, so we thought that it was going to be that earlier in the season we had that Chiefs Patriots game, and we were excited about how the 59.5 game total was so large. And this time, this one opens at 60, which is the large. There's only been two games that since like spreads have been tracked that have opened at 60 points. The last one was in 2004. So we've got the first one, you know, in 14 years. NFL seasons. And I doubt it's the last, to be honest, because Chiefs and Rams are going to play on a Monday night, not too far down the road here. We're only a couple weeks away from that. So that's just one thing to tickle our fancy. You know, we've got an undefeated underdog as well. They're playing in – this game is also happening in the Coors Field of NFL, which is even more bonkers for us to just latch on to fantasy production. We've got the two best offenses in terms of how efficient they are at scoring. The Saints have scored in 61% of their possessions. It's the highest rate in the league. The team right behind them is the Rams. They've scored in 55% of their possessions. You look at in terms of just the scoring plays they run in the money zones. New Orleans is running 15.6 red zone plays per game. It's the most in the league. The Rams are at 13.4. That's just behind them. You look at some of the individual components of this matchup as well. I mean, you look at Jared Goff, his best games now have come when they've had to match points with another team, his best fantasy games. So he's got that in place here. Drew Brees has played four of his past five games at home. I know a lot of people are back to this disappointment on Drew Brees, but he's faced four of his past five been on the road. Two of those have been against two really good teams in their house. Now he gets to come back into his house in a game where we're expecting a shootout, and he's had those splits this year. At home, he's averaged 348 passing yards per game. He's completed 84% of his passes at home this season, so it's going to be a big boost for Drew Brees. I think that you'd have to have a shorter conversation trying to find someone you didn't want to play in this game and avoid in lineups than you did the numerous pieces that the fan. It's going to be a bountiful feast as we head into November for fantasy points in this game.
I will say, I have to throw a little bit of cold water. New Orleans defense has kind of been kind of good since those first two games, but now they don't have Marcus Davenport, so which had been that rookie. We kind of looked sideways at them trading up to go and pick him, but he's been good, so good on them. Mm-hmm. Their draft record the last 2 years, I guess we just kind of have to accept what they're doing. but yeah, this is going to be a fun game.
And Cooper Kupp's going to be back.
So yeah, it's going to be a good one. Thanks as always, Rich. Remember, you can follow Rich on Twitter at Lord Reeves. You can find the worksheet at rotoworld.com. You should go and find the worksheet at rotoworld.com. And I will be back with Nick Minzio in just a second. Listen up, fantasy football fans. You need to try out Draft. It's weekly fantasy football, but with no salary caps. On Draft, you play in live snake drafts with other people, just like in your season-long league. It's a draft that lasts for just 1 week. There's no roster management. You set it and forget it. Once you're done drafting, that's absolutely it. Drafts start every couple minutes, so you can join one right now. And the best part? You're playing for cold, hard cash. Drafts start from just $1, so there's a draft out there for everyone. Come and join me on Draft today. You could download the app anytime. Just search Draft in your app store and join a game in minutes. Or you can play on draft.com, whatever you like. For a limited time only, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit. But you have to use our promo code ROTOWORLD. That's right. Play a real money game for free just for using our promo code ROTOWORLD on your first deposit. Just search Draft in the app store or go to draft.com to get started. We are back with Nick Minzio, who writes Stardom and Sit'em over at rotoworld.com. Go and check that out. What's going on, man?
What's up, Ray?
It's week 9.
It is. Next week's double digits. Then you start hitting the home stretch, you know?
Yeah, it always seems like, I was talking with Rich, I guess every year it goes this fast, but it really seems like it's been fast this year, hasn't it?
I totally agree. Especially once Thanksgiving gets here. We've talked about that the past couple of weeks. Once Thanksgiving gets here, it flies by after that.
Yeah. So it's funny. We wait all year for it, and then it just flies right on past us. But it's still here. Football is still here for us, and you're here for us to give us some starts and some sits. And we're going to get started with Deion Lewis, who had his best game of the season, I think, before the bye. Do you expect him to keep it going now?
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree. Best game of the season last week. He had 19 touches, season high, 155 total yards. Hasn't scored a touchdown since week one. A little disappointing, but he's playing 60 to 70% of the snaps every week. This Cowboys defense is really strong, like on the ground, but Lewis is more like a pass game back. They struggle in that area. Among teams that have had their byes, there's 14 teams that have had their byes already. The Cowboys have allowed the second most catches to running backs behind only the Falcons. So it's like a good spot for him. The Cowboys just gave up four catches for 43 yards and a touchdown to Capri Bibbs in week 7. Alfred Blue caught 8 balls for 73 yards against him in week 5. Saquon Barkley had 14 catches for 80 yards in week two, and Christian McCaffrey caught 6 balls in week one. So they're vulnerable against running backs that catch the ball. I mean, this total is just disgustingly low at 40.5 points. It's the second lowest total on the board behind the Bills and Bears at 37.5. But not a lot of fantasy goodness in this one, but I'm liking Lewis's spot a lot as an RB2 on a really light week with 6 teams on bye.
Yeah, and I think he might be something of like a buy low candidate right now.
Yeah, totally agree.
If you go back and kind of just look at how he and Derrick Henry have been used the last 3 games, all of those were losses. So, you know, maybe script had something to do with it, but say he has the same number of carries inside of 10 this season. He's been more effective. I think that there's some buy low opportunity here for sure. Devin Funchess is someone who I have liked more than most seemingly all season. He had a down game last time out, but You expect him to have a bounce back this week, right?
Yeah, down game last week, season lows and targets with 3 catches with 3 and yards with 27. Also only played 74% of the snaps. I'm just going to chalk that up to the Panthers just crushing the Ravens in the second half. He'd played over 90% of the snaps the previous 2 weeks. DJ Moore's a little bit of concern. He had a great game last week, 129 yards in the first half. Didn't touch the ball in the second half. Like I said, they were blowing him out, so didn't need to give him the ball. Greg Olsen's back too, which is a little bit concern as well, but Funchess leads the team and with 8 red zone targets. The Bucs are just terrible against receivers. 32nd in pass defense DVOA, 31st in fantasy points allowed to receivers. Just got smoked by Tyler Boyd and AJ Green last week. Boyd had 9 catches, 138 yards, touchdown. Green had 5 catches, 76 yards, a score. Week before that, Jarvis Landry busted his slump with 97 yards and a touchdown. Mohamed Sanu scored a touchdown the week before that. I mean, every receiver that lines up against these guys just going nuts. And I like Moore this week I know he's a popular ad, but I like Funchess to bounce back in this spot as well.
And you mentioned it a little bit earlier. You said that, you know, Olsen's back and that might be concerning. But last week was really the first week we saw Funchess not get his targets. And like you said, it seemed more to do with the game than it did to do with Olsen being back. So I've kind of moved past that worrying about Olsen point for him as well. And he's another player that I like even rest of the season, I think, more than other people do. On the other side of the coin, we have the guys that you're not really that in on. And it's actually 2 Falcons we want to talk about here, and that's Calvin Ridley and Tevin Coleman. So I guess I have to ask, are you down on the Falcons in general or just these 2 players specific?
Pretty much just the Falcons in general. I mean, this is their 3rd road game. We haven't seen them on the road very much this season, which is really surprising to be playing your 3rd road game in week 9. But their first 2 road games, they scored 12 points in the season opener against the Eagles, and then 17 was a real big letdown against the Steelers in week 5. Ridley was a non-factor in week 1, obviously. They made a concerted effort to get him the ball more going forward. Week 5 against the Steelers, he only had 5 targets, caught 4 balls for like 38 yards or something like that. Hasn't scored since the calendar flipped to October. Got hurt in 1 game a couple weeks back, came back last game, played his normal snap reps. I'm really not concerned about his injury at all. It's just this defense for the Redskins, they're just really good against, that's like the backbone of their team is their defense. They control the ball. They run at the 3rd slowest pace in the league, and then they face the 7th fewest plays for opposing offenses. So Ridley and Coleman, I'm just not feeling these guys at all. They're the Falcons' implied team total of 22 points is 10 points lower than their season average at home. So they're just a much different offense on the road, especially outdoors. And then going back to Coleman, just this run defense has just been awesome lately. They faced Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, and Ezekiel Elliott in 3 straight games. Held them combined to 91 scoreless rushing yards on 36 carries, so 2.5 yards per carry. Tevin Coleman's just been a total disappointment in his contract year. Just it's relying totally on big plays. He's lucky Ito Smith's not playing well either, because Ito Smith'd be lapping him if he was. I just don't like these guys at all. I mean, you have to play them because we have 6 teams on bye. Just I'm tempering expectations really hard.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I am interested to see if this Washington defense is for real. I mean, but you look at their schedule, and it's not like they've played a terrible schedule. I mean, it hasn't been a great one. They obviously got done up in New Orleans, but I mean, that was a breeze record-setting game. Other than that, they haven't given up more than 21 points. So I'm interested. I'm not sure if this defense is real, but I think we'll have a pretty good idea after this week's game, right?
Yeah, I think the run defense is more real than the pass defense, obviously, because, I mean, they've faced some really strong running backs the past 3 weeks and have held up really well.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. Thanks as always, Nick. Remember, you can follow Nick on Twitter at Nick Benzio. You can follow Rich at Lord Reeves. I am at RM Summerlin. Do not forget to rate and review wherever you find the podcast, and we will be back to talk to you next week.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.